Real quick here, today we'll be going from Luke 5, verses 33 and 39. So before I read from there, a little context here, because if you weren't here or don't remember what happened last week, I believe it's a little important before we get into it, because otherwise the very first few words don't make sense, as they are, "And they said to him." Who are they and who is him? So last week, as we ended, Jesus invited Levi, a tax collector, to come join him. Levi held a feast. The Pharisees weren't happy about it. So that's kind of where we're picking up, is with the conversation that's kind of happening there. So hopefully you're all in chapter 5, verse 33, because I don't have slides today. So you're just going to have to deal with that. "And they said to him, 'The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink.' And Jesus said to them, 'Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast in those days.' He also told them a parable. 'No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says the old is good.'" So we start off with a bit happening there, because of course last week the Pharisees kind of try to hit Jesus with the, he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus has a response to that. So they quickly change subject here and tell him that, you know, John the Baptist, his disciples fast, our disciples fast, yours aren't. The Pharisees think they've got Jesus here, right? They're not fasting. Well, they don't have to, is the thing. Back in Old Testament days, back during Moses and the beginning of the law of Israel's law, there was only a couple of times that fasting would happen. One time that they had to, that was during the Day of Atonement. But from there would be two occasions that they were encouraged to fast. They were never told beyond the Day of Atonement. Since then, between the beginning of Jewish law and Jesus, the religious leaders during that time would add on to the law. They would add different traditions, many of which that weren't needed or even, as we would call today, biblically accurate. One of these things would be fasting. They made it a thing that you would do two times during the week. More specifically, you would do it from sunrise to sunset, which I looked up today is roughly a 15-hour period, I believe, give or take. I believe it's about 5:55 a.m. to sometime at 8:40 p.m. Today. So they would spend those 15 hours not eating. Before and after, they could eat as much as they wanted. But during the time outside, between those two times, they wouldn't. And so they would do that twice a week. It was very much so something that they would do in public and make it known. Point in case, they're trying to tell Jesus he's not doing it. They're trying to treat it as if he's not following law, but it's more that he's not following tradition. And Jesus points that out to them in a way. Because in it, he brings up wedding guests and the bridegroom. Well, like I said, they're at a feast right now. It's not a wedding. So what's he talking about? More specifically, going back to it, he says in verse 34, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them?" Now, anytime in the Bible, usually when there's a vague bridegroom mentioned, it's referring to Jesus himself. So right now, what's happening here is he's saying this is a time of celebration and there's no need to fast. So like I said before, there are two occasions where fasting normally happens now. The first of which is in a time of mourning. Someone's died. Israel's lost a battle. Something terrible has happened. Usually you see it, a lot of people mainly focus on they tear their clothes, right? You wear sackcloth and all that. But they also, another part of that is that they're fasting during that time as well. The other time would be they would fast in order to get closer to God on a spiritual level. This is specifically what, when the Pharisees decide to bring up John the Baptist, that's what he is doing and teaching his disciples to do when they fast. It's not the self-righteous act of the Pharisees, two-time-a-week fast that they do. But the big thing is, so there's not a time of mourning. The disciples are quite literally as close to God as they can be in that moment, right there with Jesus being there. This is a time of celebration, is what Jesus is saying here. Specifically, the Messiah promised to them is, come. There's no reason to be fasting. And he uses a wedding as an example because during that time, weddings would last like over a week when they happen. And during that time, you don't have it happen where they're all celebrating, having fun, drinking, partying, and go, oh, guys, it's 5 a.m. Sunday. We need to stop eating quick. The sun's about to come up. No, they kept going. They didn't stop twice a week during that celebration, the fast. Because there's no reason to deprive yourself of the joy of life in the form of food during a time of celebration. But Jesus does continue to say that there will be a time when the bridegroom is taken away. And during that time, they will fast. If you haven't caught on yet from that alone, he's talking about two specific times here. First being his death, one of the many times that Jesus says he's going to die, and no one really notices. He kind of predicts that. And during that time, a lot of mourning would obviously happen because someone has died. So they would fast during then. The next time this would be happening would be after Jesus' earthly ministry is over and he ascends back to heaven. From there, he has left them, and you get to the beginning of the early church, a time in which many of them would be killed and hunted down from all sides. It's a very sad, mournful time there as well. So Jesus is telling the Pharisees, when they're saying, why aren't you fasting? He's saying there's no reason to. He's kind of in that moment, he's challenging the status quo the Pharisees have set forth with their traditions they have pushed on to the law. And Jesus is here to kind of change all that. He then proceeds to tell them a parable in verse 36. He says three things in this. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wines into old wineskins. If he does, the new wines will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says the old is good. So here we have three statements, one about garments, one about wineskins, and one about wine. And for the most part, I'll give the spoiler here. He's pretty much saying the same thing. So we'll start with the garments here. So no one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. So when you tear a pair of jeans, the one thing you do not do is go grab a new pair of jeans from the store and use those jeans to fix the old ones. On top of that being really dumb because you had a new fresh pair of jeans right there, you go, you'll sew it on, it won't match. It will be obvious that it won't match. And the other thing is the old pair of jeans that you have torn, they have been washed. They've been shrunk from the wash, all of that. The new patch that you have put on has not. So you'd put it in the wash, that patch would shrink, and it would tear away, resulting in an even worse hole than you had before, when you could have just had a new pair of jeans from the store. And he says a similar thing with the wineskins. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. If you don't know, back in the day when wine was made during this time, they used wineskin, which is goat skin or sheepskin. They use that, they put the wine into it, it ferments in the bag. and they serve the wine from there. But the thing that happens is during the fermentation process, while the gas and all that is building up inside that skin, it's stretching the skin to pretty much its limit. So now you have that, once you've served the wine, you don't put new wine into there to ferment, because the fermentation process will start, the gas will build up, and the skin cannot stretch anymore. So that skin will open up and destroy the entire thing. But on top of destroying the entire wine skin, you also just wasted perfectly good wine. So you need to use new wine, or new wine skins for your new wine. Now these two statements, what Jesus is saying here, is he's offering new garments and new wineskins, essentially. And later on, a new wine. We'll get to that. What he's saying, though, is here he has this new teaching, right? Faith, grace, forgiveness, all of that. And if he's saying that things need to change, it won't work with Jewish law and everything that's a part of that. Because if you try to put that in, mix them together, you're going to tear it. They don't work. It's something that Paul says a bunch later on in the New Testament, that the law was essentially, it was set up to fail. It was never going to work from the beginning. It was made to be a placeholder for this new teaching that came from Jesus in this time. Sorry. Did not bring any water up here. That's my mistake. anyways, so he's saying he has this new teaching here. He then proceeds to add one final statement into here. And no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says the old is good. I want you guys to all imagine for a second. Everyone here in this church drinks Pepsi, just as is. And I come out here, I wish I had a can down here now for the fun of it. I produced a new can of Pepsi in this moment. And I said, this Pepsi is scientifically, and I mean it, scientifically proven to be better tasting and healthier. There will be three different kinds of people in this room in this moment. The first will be willing to try this new Pepsi, and they will be perfectly fine with it. After all, it's proven to be better. There will be some who will come up, they will try this Pepsi, and they'll say, I don't like it, and they'll go back to the old stuff. And then there will be a group of people who say, get that crap out of my face. I don't want anything to do with your new Pepsi. I like my old. This is what he's saying here. There are some who have drinking the old wine, Jewish law. They don't want what Jesus is offering. They are perfectly fine and okay with what they have at the moment, even though it is scientifically better than what they have. After all, it is coming from the Son of God himself. So, why does this all matter to us now? It's always the question that's got to be asked when going for Scripture. Because we've been given the new, we've had the new, I'm just going to say it, there's some people in this world who have not accepted the new, even though they have had it now for over 2,000 years. We have been offered salvation in this moment. And there are some who believe that in it all, they just say a prayer, they stitch Jesus onto their life, and they are good. No. As was previously stated, you can't just sew a new patch onto an old pair of clothes. You got to change them out entirely. I'm going to hate that I say this now, because it's the moment that when I came up with this that I realized I sounded too much. Oh, thank you so much. I sounded too much like my mom. And that is, you have a hole, you don't just stitch Jesus onto it. You got to put on your Jesus pants now. You need to be willing to change. And that's what Jesus is saying, is change is coming and it's here. Excuse me a moment, I'm going to mute so you don't hear me drinking this. All right. For those who don't know, if there's one critique I have of Dustin, he does that too much. I gotta bring it up since I'm actually drinking water up here this time. No, all fun and games there. Yeah. I fully expect retaliation next week. So he's brought this change. Sorry, I gotta catch up where I'm at now. I distracted myself too long there. Jesus pants, thank you. It's a terrible analogy. But if there's one mistake, I'll do it with the thing I wasn't going to say, but I'll say it now. If there's one mistake the church has made in its time, it is the evangelical movement of all you have to do is say a prayer and that is it. You don't have to change anything about your life, you're good. No. If there's one thing that's been taught in the Bible, for sure, is that change has to happen. Look no further than the author of this book, Luke, look at his traveling buddy, Paul. A man who, during his time, was one of the greatest Pharisees to exist in his generation. He even says it. And during the time as a Pharisee, he would have fasted twice a week. He might have done it a third time because. I don't actually know if that's true, but that's the kind of guy he is, right? Or he was, I should say that. But of course, if you know Paul's story, during that time he was Saul, and then on a road to Damascus, Jesus came to him, and he was saved, and became an entirely different person, an almost entirely different person as a result. He shocked the entire early church during this time as a man who was hunting them down and killing them, to being the main guy to go out and preach to the Gentiles and bring Jesus and Christianity to them. You can also look at a simple fisherman who, before Jesus came along, was all he was going to be at the end of the day. And after Jesus came, this man, Peter, became the head of the early church through salvation through Jesus. Salvation is supposed to change you. And part of what Jesus is saying here is the change has come. He is this change. You gotta change with him, right? There's change is a part of it. You can't keep doing what you're supposed to, or not what you're supposed to, what you've been doing. The time has come for salvation. That has been promised. If we go back to the genealogy from last time I was up here, been promised since Adam. From Adam, through people like Abraham and David. It has come in the form of this new wine. You cannot put it into the old wineskins, the old framework of law. You cannot earn your way through to salvation, which is a lot of what the Pharisees were trying to do, especially with their traditions. And with it all, it's a new covenant that has come. Definitely going earlier than I thought I would be, as we move to a time of communion, which is, of course, how the this new covenant is given through the bread that represents Jesus' body broken for us, and the cup, which back in the day used to be wine, represented Jesus' blood. Poured out for us. So as we move to a time of communion, like I said, I'm letting you guys out way early. I'm terrible at long preaching here. let's move forward with communion to a time of remembrance.
Our prayer for you this week is that you would recognize that God is bringing something new into your life that far surpasses the old ways that you used to live. And our prayer for you is that you would embrace the total change that is going to follow when you receive that. And honestly, I can't put it any better than you this week need to put on your Jesus pants. And that's the last word. That's all I got. We love you. Have a good week.